Jessica Clements, Legislative Director of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. You're alerting me, Jesse, to two bills that you're following on Capitol Hill regarding Medicare. Tell me about the first one, the one that's most important to federal employees, and we'll get to the other one coming up. Thanks, Jesse, for coming on today.
Oh, thank you, Francis, for having me, as always. It's actually the same bill, just in two different chambers, so I can do this in half the time.
Fantastic.
So let's talk about the backstory here. And unfortunately, for me as a lobbyist, it's one of those issues that I can't sum up in one or two sentences.
You have the time you need, my friend.
I beg you and your listeners to stay with me on this one. Those affected are probably already well aware. So, 2016, probably not going to be a cost of living adjustment to Social Security benefits and federal retirement annuities. We have 1 month left in the measurement year, but all signs are pointing to no COLA. So let's operate under that assumption that there won't be a COLA next year. When there is no COLA, or when the COLA is small, and Medicare premiums rise, there's this law called the hold harmless provision. And basically what it states is that your Medicare increase is tied to your dollar increase in Social Security. So when there's no Social Security COLA and there's a Medicare premium increase, those who pay their Medicare premiums out of their Social Security check are, quote, held harmless. So, Medicare premiums, according to the Medicare trustees, are set to rise next year from roughly $105 a month now to $120. But since there's no COLA for that 70% of Medicare beneficiaries who pay their premiums out of Social Security, they will stay at the $105. However, the administration also interprets Medicare law as saying that a certain percentage of all Medicare costs must come from premiums, and therefore the remaining 30% of people, who include a lot of CSRS retirees, who are not held harmless, have to shoulder the full burden of the increase, meaning those folks won't go to 120 next year. They will go to just shy of 160 a month, so a $55 increase in Medicare premiums for 30% of beneficiaries next year. It includes almost a million CSRS retirees. Been working on this issue since July, alerting members of Congress to it, trying to find a legislative fix. Participated in a press conference in front of the Capitol yesterday, urging action on this issue. Yesterday saw introduction of bills in both the House and Senate. Senator Wyden from Oregon in the Senate, Congresswoman Titus from Nevada in the House, that would hold everyone next year at the rate they are paying in 2015. How was that, like 15 minutes?
No, that was a quite succinct description of a very complicated issue and one that potentially could wind up costing people a lot of money.
A lot of money, and believe you me, Francis, I am hearing from those NERF members who are facing that $55 a month increase in their Medicare premiums next year, and they are not happy.
As we wind down on this Congress, even though it doesn't seem like it will ever end with what's going on in the speaker's race, and we're already hearing we've got to actually have the budget bills done by November 11th instead of December 11th because the Appropriations Committee wants 30 days to be able to actually write the bills, to put them into an omnibus package, on and on and on and on and on, all of this stuff. As we wind down, what are the issues that are important to federal employees that aren't maybe bold enough or big enough to get attention from the people who are covering Congress for the rest of the country?
Okay, that is an excellent question. Aside from this Medicare issue, which I think will probably be NARF's big priority as we get closer to the end of the year, there are several other things that could happen that should be of cause for concern for federal employees. You mentioned an omnibus package. We now know that we will hit the debt ceiling on November 5th. Some estimates are saying, Treasury's wrong, maybe it's November 14th. Doesn't matter, it's before December 11th when the CR expires, right? So they have that deadline. And we are in this weird, weird place now that people will only vote to raise the debt limit if there is an offset in doing so, right? So if you're going to raise the debt limit, you need to pay for that some other way.
Yes.
I remember when we would take multiple debt limit votes in a Congress, and no one would bat an eye, right? This was just what you did. Now you need an offset. So that's problem number one, or problem number two, the first one being omnibus. Then you have the debt limit. Then you also have this pesky highway bill that expires on October 29th. And as you and I both know and talked about extensively last month, they wanted to offset the cost, they being the Senate, offset the cost of the highway bill by changing the rate of return on the TSP's G fund. So if I'm a federal employee right now, it's October 8th, there's not quite 3 months left in this year, and Congress has three deadlines they are facing, November 5th, October 29th, and December 11th. That is three opportunities for them to use federal employees to offset highway funding, the debt limit, and sequestration offsets. I think everyone agrees sequestration is a bad idea, but you need to absorb those costs elsewhere. Three opportunities. If we're talking a big bill here, if we're talking a bill that the House and Senate are going to consider that rolls all three of those things into one big package, I think federal employees should be very, very nervous.
Jesse Clement of NARF, and there are a couple schools of thought here, Jesse, about how these things could go. And I'm reminded, as I think of one of them, to something that you told me way back in the spring, I think, which was once it's down on paper, it kind of lives forever until it becomes law, or so the possibility at least exists.
Yep.
And the other school of thought is, with all of that rush, they may not have time to do anything that's damaging to federal employees. The first school of thought, of course, is the one that you're advancing, which is that there are these three opportunities, and as members are casting about, they'll look for something that looks simple. And a couple of the things that you mentioned, damaging as they may be to federal employees, do appear to be simple to just stick into a bill somewhere.
I'm with the first school of thought. We had a House budget this year that took $318 billion from the federal community through eight different provisions. Unsurprisingly, one of those provisions was talked about as the offset for the highway bill in the Senate. So what, you're right, once it's down on paper, it's there. It's easy pickings, right? We've been talking about an increase in retirement contributions for current federal employees for at least 5 years now. That's always the easy picking. Congress knows it's there. They know it exists. And when the rubber meets the road and you're facing down a government shutdown or voting for a bad bill, are you going to be the guy that votes against the bad bill knowing that it could lead to a government shutdown? It's a lose-lose situation for a lot of these members of Congress, and certainly for federal employees who are faced with a government shutdown and possibly not getting paid right before the holidays, mind you, or increasing your retirement contributions, which is an immediate pay cut for them.